This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on red-hot-mama.com. This is episode number 95 on March 24 of 2008. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, on today's program, we have a very special guest.
Very special.
Former Reds blogger and now roving Reds expert, quoted by baseball articles in newspapers world round, Joel Luckhaupt. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Or the first Joel, as I was singing very embarrassedly when he answered the phone without me knowing it.
Uh-huh.
But it was it was good singing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sounded like you just started just as I picked up.
Like I did intentionally. Well, before that I was singing...
It was so coincidental.
Before that I was singing the theme song I'd made up for the Red Hot Broadcast. So you're lucky you didn't hear that part.
Yeah, well, you should get George Grand to record that for you.
Oh, George Grand is the bomb, isn't he? So, how about them Reds this year?
How about them? They're going to win it all, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and by all, do we mean third place?
Well, that'd be an improvement.
That would feel like all, wouldn't it? A winning record would feel like winning it all.
Sort of. I mean, when you have the low expectations, you know, those small victories can add up.
And you don't get your heart broken.
Yeah. Already, with the chipper tone. So let's talk about the changes to the team since last season.
What are they bringing new this year?
Well, the shiniest new present we had on our doorstep this offseason was Francisco Cordero, who was paid a hefty sum for his services to pitch his 70 innings a year. What else do we have? We got a bunch of new young folk that are trying to make the squad, and the person of Joey Votto, who came in during September last year. We also have a couple new pitchers, Jeremy Affeldt, who came over from the Rockies last year, and Josh Fogg, who also pitched for the Rockies. And am I missing anybody? Anybody significant? Corey Patterson. How could I forget Corey Patterson, Mr. knocking Jay Bruce back down to AAA?
Well, you know, someone's got to.
He'll be manning center field, it appears, and batting lead off with his 300 on-base percentage.
Actually, I was wanting to talk to you about on-base percentage.
Okay.
On-base percentage has been sort of a statistic of contention with particularly with Dusty Baker, who is perhaps the most important new piece that the Reds are bringing to the table this year.
You say so.
You know, maybe the most annoying.
I know, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to block him out. He and I do not see eye to eye. Eye to wristbands.
I was wondering if instead of calling it, you know, on-base percentage, OBP, if you were to call it not out percentage, if we were to start calling it NOP,
like to flip it around.
Yeah.
I wonder if you know, at least it would be harder for Dusty Baker to sound competent saying he didn't believe in it.
I know. And that's I think I said stuff like that back when I was writing at Reds and Blues 2 years ago.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
Probably is, because it sounds like something a genius like myself would say.
Well, you know, and I used to hang on your every word. It's really a shame you've gotten out of the business.
I know. Well, that was the problem. There were just too many people following me, and I felt too much pressure.
Yeah, that's tough. I feel your pain. Because, I mean, so, I've got like tens of
readers. I agree. I think that a lot of times people say, well, who cares what Adam Dunn's on-base percentage is? His job isn't to get on base. But if you turn that around and say, who cares what Adam Dunn's not out percentage is, well, a lot of people will care.
His job is not to not get out.
His job One of his two main jobs is to not make outs.
Well, right. I think
the other
that...
one, and this is when he's at the plate. The other one is to get as many bases as he can. And he's pretty good at both of those.
Well,
not that
a...
we're talking about Adam Dunn right now, but per example.
Well, getting bases requires not getting outs.
Correct.
So there you go. It's already like a prerequisite.
Right. And then that's the problem with somebody like Corey Patterson batting first, is that he is not very good at not making outs. And so then when he's making outs, that makes it harder for guys like Ken Griffey Jr. and Brandon Phillips and Adam Dunn in the middle of the lineup to come up with men on base.
Truly told.
And it comes full circle.
That's deep, man.
I know.
Well, we'll give that a try here on Red Hot Mama, see if we get any. See, maybe we can change their mind.
The problem is if we just start referring to it as NOP, nobody's going to understand what the hell we mean.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll spell it out. The not out percentage.
Yeah.
Speaking of full circles, how about the rotation? How are the Reds' rotation looking this year?
It looks like it's going to be improved over last year, which I think is a good thing. You've got Harang and Arroyo in the 1-2 spot, and they're pretty solid. I think you're going to get a couple hundred innings out of both of them, and they should be solid innings. Probably Harang will be around a 3.5 ERA or 3.5 to 4.0 ERA. Arroyo will probably be a little bit higher than that. I think expectations may have been set a little too high for him based on his 2006 season. I think 2007 is probably a little more realistic of what we can expect from him in terms of, ERA and that kind of stuff. After that, it looks like we're going to get a couple young guys in the rotation in Johnny Cueto and Edison Volquez. Volquez came over in the trade for Josh Hamilton over the offseason. And, I think a lot of Reds fans are going to expect a lot out of him, simply because they were disappointed to see the Reds give up on Hamilton. And so if Volquez ends up being a flop, then there's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth and throwing of stones towards the Reds front office. And Cueto's kind of just caught the world on fire this spring, if you haven't heard. He's really kind of jumped into the spotlight as the Reds' premier pitching prospect, kind of leapfrogging over Homer Bailey based on the performance that he's put up during the spring. And some are concerned that maybe he's getting a little bit too much of attention based on just what he's done during the spring. But his numbers aren't too far off of what he did in the minors. The only problem is he's not really proven anything against the major league hitters over the long term. So he could go up or down, and kind of the same is to be said for Volquez. And then the fifth spot is pretty much going to be filled by, I would expect, Josh Fogg at this point, especially because Homer Bailey kind of screwed himself over tonight. I don't know, he walked like six batters or something like that. I don't think that's going to work out too well. So I would expect Josh Fogg and possibly Matt Belisle when he comes back from a forearm injury.
So what's up with Homer Bailey? Why is he walking all these guys?
He just doesn't. Excuse me. He doesn't have very good control. Never really has shown good control in the minors. He's got pretty good stuff. He throws a pretty 96, 97 sometimes on the radar gun. But the problem is that he's kind of all over the strike zone, or out of the strike zone. And if he doesn't ever get that under control, that's going to be one of those things that prevents him from ever really having major success in the majors. But then again, he's only 21, so I don't think it's time to give up on him. I think, one of the few things that Dusty Baker has said this spring that I've really liked was, he pointed out that, Bailey could still come up in 3 years from now and still be a young pitcher, only be 24, and, could still have a lot of success. So it's not the time right now to give up on him. I think another year in AAA, or at least a few months in AAA, to work on getting things under control will probably be good for him.
And I would think that with the addition of the emergence of Volquez and Cueto, it might help take some of the pressure of saving the Reds franchise that seemed to be heaped upon Bailey last year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, absolutely. And I also think that in many ways it might help motivate him to become a more mature pitcher. Things kind of were, he moved up every year despite not necessarily making improvements. I mean, he pitched well at every level, but he didn't really make improvements with his control. And it just seemed like a foregone conclusion that he was going to move up the ladder every year. But now, seeing, kind of getting leapfrog on the totem pole, I think maybe might strike a little bit of fear into him that, he's not as important or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speak too much about his mindset, but hopefully it would motivate him a little better to see, some praise being heaped on the other guys and kind of push him to do, make himself a better pitcher.
Right. So the rotation, surprisingly a little bit younger, but hopefully better for the Reds. What about one of their biggest trouble spots last year, the bullpen?
I'm not convinced that the bullpen is stellar yet. I think it's going to be better, but it was the second worst bullpen in the National League last year, I believe, or the worst. I don't quite remember. I stopped counting at 10. I figure after that you pretty much suck. So I'm not sure whether or not it's going to be that improved. The one bonus that I think will happen from the signing to the from the Cordero signing is that it kind of pushes the sixth and seventh inning guys that really had no business being on the roster last year, pushes them out of the picture and moves everybody back a spot. So I think that's the number one benefit. The other thing that I think will improve with the bullpen is I think Todd Coffey's going to come out a lot more motivated this year, and I think he's already showing that he's learning how to pitch a little better. I think he's always had the stuff to be a good pitcher. I just think he's failed to be a smart pitcher, and hopefully we'll see some improvement there. And if he can come out and be a strong right-hander out of the pen to complement Jared Burton and David Weathers, I think that would make the seventh, eighth, and ninth, or the seventh and eighth innings that much stronger for the team. Unfortunately, I'm not as confident that Mike Stanton is going to improve, and I think he's going to get a lot of innings that maybe he doesn't deserve. I'm not as confident that Jeremy Affeldt is a solution out of the pen. I think, people may have an expectation based on what he did in Colorado last year, but I'm never confident predicting relievers on a year-to-year basis based off of, essentially 1 year of success. But I am hopeful that Bill Bray, if he can actually stay healthy, could be a solid contributor. So there will be some improvement, but I don't think it's going to be the kind of improvement that the team needs in order to be a truly competitive team.
Yeah, the last season, especially at the beginning there, it was just like as soon as the bullpen got in, it was a disaster.
Oh, yeah,
and just day after day after day after day after day, it was the same story over and over again. Hopefully they can at least avoid that.
Yeah, and you would think with somebody like Cordero adding some solidity down there into the pen, that they would be able to go from being the blow pen to actually being a bullpen.
What about on the other side of this with the offense? Do you still see with Dusty Baker's no base clogging philosophy, do you still see the team having the kind of offensive power that's been their strength for so long?
I don't know. I go back and forth on the offense. When we wrote the article, when I worked with John Arardi on the article that was in the Cincinnati Inquirer, one of the key things that we said for the team was that Jay Bruce and Joey Votto would need to be in the lineup every day and need to perform the way we would expect them to perform in order for them to have a successful offense. as you know, Jay Bruce is in the minors, which, you know, I'm not too upset with him being sent to the minors. I can understand the risk of bringing a 20-year-old into the majors and kind of plopping him down into a starting role. So I don't think it's a bad thing, necessarily, that he was sent down. I just think it's going to make it harder for them to be successful in 2008. I think with having Corey Patterson and potentially somebody like Juan Castro batting second, those two guys at the top of the order, is very scary to me. I think that that's, you know, you're just asking to never have any guys on base when the middle of your lineup comes up, and that's just, it's worthless managing if you ask me. I don't think either of those guys should ever bat higher than seventh in the lineup.
Well, we'll keep the bases nice and clear, unclogged.
Yes. There won't be any clogging except for the fact that, you know, the guys that really will get on base, guys like, you know, Adam Dunn and Scott Hatterberg and, you know, Edwin Encarnacion are going to be batting 5, 6, and 7th in the lineup. So you're going to be clogging the bases for, you know, your catcher and your pitcher in the batting order. If you're going to clog the bases, at least clog them in front of somebody that can actually hit the ball. Right? Am I right?
One would think.
Yeah.
Speaking of your catcher, what do you think of David Ross potentially starting the season on the DL?
The only reason I'm concerned about that is because of defense. I think Javier Valentin will probably match what Ross would have done offensively, or at least, you know, give a reasonable a reasonable facsimile of Ross at the plate. Paul Bacco, who's probably going to be the catcher against left-handed pitching, who essentially will be taking Ross's spot, he'll be there. I mean, he'll be behind the plate. I don't have a whole lot of positive to say about him.
And what about the third catcher?
The inevitable third catcher. In fact, I heard today that the Reds are reportedly on the market looking for another catcher to bring aboard.
I know.
One would hope it would just be to replace Bacco, someone who's...
worse than Bacco?
Better than.
Well, it's hard to find players that are worse than Bacco, especially since Chad Mueller, I think, currently is under contract.
That is a shame.
So I really hope they don't go with a third catcher. They can't afford to. So I'm just going to ignore that you even brought that up.
I think it was Tom Brenneman the other day who was saying it was a no-brainer and that they had to have a third catcher.
Well, fancy Tom Brenneman. Tom Brenneman saying something's a no-brainer is kind of ironic.
So you sound really upbeat about the team. What do you think their chances are this season?
You know, I'm not this pessimistic about the team. It's just it's hard to look at what's there and really think that their normal level would be a playoff caliber team. The way I see it is, if they're if they're competing for the playoffs, they're really maxing out their potential. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but, you know, a lot of things are going to have to go the right way. Now, it's not like in the past couple years where, you know, there were 100 ifs that would, you know, then the team could have made the playoffs. I'd say this year they're probably 10 ifs, which is a huge improvement. It's a much better team than what they had last year. I just don't, you know, they only had 72 wins last year, and, you know, to make 81, that's a pretty good improvement. To make 85, that's really pushing the boundaries of the talent level that they have, especially with, you know, the veteran choices that they continue to make. So I'm not necessarily pessimistic. I think they could have a fun season. I think they could have a pretty good season. I'm just not confident right now that they're a playoff team.
Sounds about accurate.
Yeah.
They can get their mind around the idea of not encouraging outs. That will certainly be in their favor.
I know. And the problem is that, you know, Wayne Krivsky, his tendency has been to sign people that are not very good at not making outs as well.
The
future face of the franchise, Brandon Phillips, he's not very good at not making outs. So it's not like, you know, there's an organizational philosophy of trying to not make outs.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, so it looks like the Reds will be spotting the opposing team the first inning every game this year. So we have that to look forward to.
And then Brandon Phillips,
but then after that,
leading off.
Solo home runs.
Yeah.
Solo home runs and then complaints about the fact that he only hit solo home runs.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the program, Joel. It's always a pleasure.
Sorry I talk so much.
That was kind of the point.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, till next time. Well, till next time, hang in there and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Yep.
Show your love for the show by leaving a comment on iTunes or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional NL Central on our website at red-hot-mama.com.
Joel, Joel.